know that thou art a faithful God, and thou art merciful. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your mercy.
Amen. Oh, yes, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. come to you to worship at your feet. As we worship you, worship at your Jesus.
No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive all that your due. Oh Lord, we bring our offering to you.
Hi, Jesus.
The truth.
the Lamb upon the throne. Worthy to be praised. Bless your name, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, for the Lord, we thank you because you are the Lamb upon our throne, the throne of our hearts. You are the Lamb upon this throne, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bring it as an offering. Hallelujah. We say, Lord, we place you far above every other thing, Jesus. Far above all else. For you are the great high priest. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Come to repent of every other foreign god. Every other idol. Jesus. Every other image, every other high place. Oh, for you say you will judge the high places. Judge the high places that are before the temple. Hallelujah. Before the east gate, say you will judge the high places. Oh, judge the high places. The image of jealousy at the entry in. Hallelujah. That you will judge. My God, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Be thou worshipped, be thou exalted. In the name of Jesus. Now you will, you say in your truth, you will write prosperously. That your sword will be sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. Hallelujah. That your word will thunder. Hallelujah. At the voice of the Lord, it will judge the stronghold. That the mountains will quake, and the valleys will be filled. That the crooked places might be made straight. Hallelujah. At the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh yes, Jesus. And the burdens will be broken and lifted. That the gates and the prison doors will be opened. Hallelujah. The gates will be opened, hallelujah. And the captives will be set free, Jesus. For you came to set the captive free. Jesus, blessed be your name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. As we're just thinking, I just began to get a burden. These days, I've learned not to. I have repented of not bomb through it. I don't throw the bomb. I'm only a vessel, so you should question the Holy Ghost. So nothing is guaranteed because I don't have control. One thing I've learned is not to prepare things and say I'm going to do this or that. Hallelujah. But to trust that the Spirit of God will minister to His people. Hallelujah. So, as you know, the scripture that came to me, and the songs even began to go in that direction. So I need to the witness on Leviticus, actually 17, but maybe 16 and 17, but mainly it's on 17. We can't read the whole passage. Going to look at the principle. principle of atonement. Last April, when we came back from the missions, during the mission and after we came back from the mission, it was clear to everyone who was involved in that mission, Brother Barry, myself, Brother Yago, by the time we all came back, I don't know how to describe it. You know, when you are doing something and, you know, you see God manifest in a dimension that beyond you, so it's like you are, yeah, it's like you are overwhelmed, you are short of words, you don't really know what to say. That was how we were, where we were. And I said to Abel, I said, something has changed. At that time, I didn't know, but even now, I don't still fully know, but I said something had changed. I noticed a change. And so I was seeking the Lord and just praying about it. You know, I was seeking the Lord and praying about it when the Lord told me, this is the atonement. We have come to the place of atonement. And it started making some sense to me. You know, it started making some sense to me. I still don't fully, because as I'm looking at it, the thing is like, it's just opening and opening and opening. So you just, when you think you've come to the reach, something else, so you just going and going and going. You know, so he said, we have come to the atonement. You know, so as we prayed, just started praying this evening, that was the scripture that came to me. So we'll just try to look at it, and then we'll see how it goes. Leviticus 17. Verse 7. You know, we're going to sing that song. In fact, when I looked at it, I shot that. It says, and they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a whoring. You know, you were wondering, what is this sacrifice to devils? You know, what is God saying? And then the picture that came to me when I looked at that was Daniel, you know. Daniel chapter 5 particularly, but if it began from the last chapters of 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles, and then 2 Kings, and the first few chapters of, in fact, Daniel, you know, they bring a situation of Israel, you know, at the tail end of the kingdom, that phase, you know, at the time when Nebuchadnezzar came to the temple and raided the temple and carried away the vessels of ministry. And that is the period of time which, as it were, in the spirit, where the church is now, you know. And, you know, it's like you ask somebody, say, you know, you look at scripture, it says, and that the spirit, you know, that's the spirit that will weary the saints, you know, that will weary the saints. So you're wondering what exactly is it talking about? Is it possible for a Christian to be wearied, to be overcome, or to be overtaken by the devil, you know? And someone says it's not possible. Of course, when you look at the church, it's very clear. It's very clear that there is something happening. You know, there's something happening that you see that the church is in a place of degradation. It's in a place where it has been overcome by truth. And what? Okay. Okay, no problem. Okay. You know, so I've come to that point where the church is in a very low place. The Christian is in a low, very low place. The things of God are in a very low place. Everything is on a low face. You know, and that's how it was in Israel at the time when their strength left them. The enemy came and not just defeated them, but carried all the vessels, carried their kings, carried their people, and took them away. And when they took them away, they took them into the temple of their God. And in that place, they began to use them as instruments of worship to their God. You know? And that is where we are in the church today. In a place where we're in a very low situation and circumstance. Daniel chapter 5, you know, says there was a man called Belshazzar. He was making a feast for his people. And in making the feast, he said, he brought out the vessels that were taken from the temple of God, and they began to drink and to make me. So he made the feast to 1,000 of his kings and priests and queens and concubines, and you know, Persia, Babylon at that time, not like what you do. I mean, this was big time. They are the feast, a table that could sit, the hall could sit 1,000 people. You know, so what they are doing now is just nothing new. It's, you know, you see, it was a feast to 1,000 people. They were making a feast for several days, and then they brought this. And you know, in fact, when I saw it, I remember I became excited, because you know, while they were doing that, something happened. See, that they saw a hand began to write on the wall. Began to write on the wall. Said, "Mene, mene, tekel, you fasten." Hallelujah. And the Bible said that his leg began to shake. He couldn't, in fact, that even his joints were, he couldn't believe it. He saw a hand writing. And of course, they brought Daniel, and he said, "Today, your kingdom has been judged, taken and given to another." In fact, as they were drinking, the Persians before that time, the place was so fortified that it was so confident that nobody could come in. But there was one weak point. They didn't get, that was where the people went, dug a hole through the wall, went through the water, through the sewers, the drainage in the city, came in. That same night, as we were there, the kingdom was overthrown, Babylon was overthrown, that same night, say today. I'm telling you, it's a historical fact. You go to the internet, just put it in, you will see everything I'm telling you. They were changed, they were sacked, and a new government came the same night, you know, of God. That's not the point. But the point of excitement is that God is bringing a hand. That hand speaks of a ministry, a word, to bring judgment to that situation. You know, God is bringing judgment to the situation where the vessels of the Lord are being used to serve in the temple. Now, when you say that, well, I'm hoping we can be able to get into it, so to really bring what he's talking of. You know, the vessels. What are the vessels of ministry? And what is he talking of? You know? And so here he says, they shall no longer bring their sacrifices to idols. Shall not offer it at all. Meaning that it was something that had been happening. It was a way of life and a pattern. And as I looked at it, the other thing that came to me is part of what we are sharing in the Libreville yesterday, of the fact that, you know, when I was saying something is changing, It's like before this time, well, yes, the emphasis was there, but it wasn't coming in the way it is coming now. The fact that God is saying, look, the emphasis on the soul, that it's no longer an option, that this is what God is saying. You know, so when you talk about the vessel, you know, people will naturally think of maybe one man that God to say, oh, this is a man of God that he's using, or that sort of, you know, you kind of put it in that dimension or another. But you see, it's gone out of that. You're now looking at what is it that God is speaking? What is this vessel? Okay. Now, if you look at the scripture that brings that into focus, you see it in Jeremiah 51. I think it's Jeremiah 51:7. Let's look at it. Jeremiah 51:7. Says Babylon. Says flee out of the midst of Babylon, verse 6, and deliver every man his soul. So when you talk about Babylon, he's speaking about soul. Okay, but it's not very apparent, but you will see it later. Say flee out of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. So he's saying, the soul is in Babylon. There's a definite connection between Babylon and soul. Okay, but it's not very clear. It will. To be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that made all the earth drunken. All the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. So you say Babylon has been a golden cup. Was there any time in history when Babylon was a golden cup in the hand of God, historically? There was no time as that. The only time you could say it happened was because God used them to judge his people. But you know the principle, if God uses to judge his people, then you must walk right. You must be righteous more than his people. If not, that judgment is coming back on you. So, because they did not walk right, God now had to judge them too. And he judged them and used it, brought the patience. The patience themselves, because they too did not walk right, he brought the, you know, the Roman kingdom, the Greco-Roman kingdom, which says shall be the last kingdom on the earth, which is everything now, all the things we are seeing now is the thing that I was showing in scripture. But that is not really the emphasis now. But we're trying to look at this vessel, you know. So he's saying Babylon had been a golden vessel in the hand of the Lord. And then we are looking at this vessel, we see in Daniel that there were vessels they were taking from the temple of God and being used. And because of that, that was what provoked God to bring judgment. They were doing everything they were doing. But when they began to bring those vessels out, I said, God said, okay, it's enough. So God moved in to judge. So in other words, there is a situation that is provoking God to move in. To say, okay, I will be sanctified. I will sanctify my vessels, you know. And, you know, of course, every word of God has a personal application. And that application is talking about us as the dwelling place of God, as the source of God. Now, to really nail the scripture, if we go to Revelation 18, Revelation 18, it comes out very clear. You know? It comes out very clear. God's hand, God shows his hand. It wasn't now, no more to hide it. Verse 2 says, okay, after this I saw another angel come from heaven saying, having great power, and the earth was lighting with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is falling, and it's become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are once rich through the abundance of her delicacies. So now here he's saying Babylon. Okay, Babylon was a physical, it was a historical temple, not temple, it was a historical kingdom, okay, and a geographical location, and that God used to judge his people, and of course we saw how they went and took the vessels of God and began to use it, okay, and we see Jeremiah 51 talking about the judgment of Babylon, okay, but now we see a different thing altogether. This Babylon clearly is no longer talking about a geographical location. He's speaking of something. He said that Babylon has become a habitation of devils, of every unclean spirit, of so and so. So it's very clear that Babylon is speaking of a place of rebellion, a place of where the devils are dwelling, a realm of the spirit where the devils are dwelling, where you have every wicked thing. And God said to me that this is the soul. So that vessel that he was talking of, he's speaking of the vessel of the soul. Okay, you remember Matthew 25, where I talked about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And the foolish virgins did not have oil in their vessel. Okay? But the wise ones had oil in the vessel. So, when you look at the scripture, if we had time, when it talks about vessel, it's speaking of the soul. You know? So, what he's saying is that there are the souls of people, our souls. And when we say soul, it's very, very far. Sometimes you don't identify what the soul. You don't identify. You talk about the mind. You know, talk about the emotions, the desire, the will, the heart. You know, that is what is important to the devil. And that's where the devils are dwelling. They feed upon the souls of men. They dwell, they inhabit, they dwell. They have their being. You know, they feed on it. You know, that's what gives them life. I said that's where they have dwelt. And the soul of men are being used to bring service and ministry and life, you know, to the devil. So talk about the mind, you know, giving life and service and all that. You know, so while we are looking at this, contemporary church, he's not talking about this. He's not operating at this level. What the church is interested in is on the outward show. You know? And that's why, you know, in Hebrew, we're talking about the Old Testament and the New. We're trying to bring it down. You know? Of the operation. In the Old Testament, it had nothing to do with your soul, the inward part of a man. No. What was important was, you know, you bring the sacrifice, you brought the sacrifice, and the sacrifice represents you. Okay? Even though there are aspects of the offering that actually is dealing with what I'm talking about now, but you see, first, you have to bring your sin offering, you bring your trespass offering, before you talk of you bringing burnt offering, to talk of peace offering, which the peace offering is what where you bring the inward parts, that's where you offer it to God. But you cannot bring that when, first of all, you have not sorted out the issue of the sin offering and so on. So you have a long journey to make before you even get to the real issue. So that was part of the offering that was brought. So the Old Testament couldn't address the issue. It says, finding fault with the Old Testament, says, I will take away the old, that I may bring in the new. You know, so bring now, and even in bringing the new, God now is moving in to press the matter and say, look, the church must come there. So before, it used to be come out of Babylon. When we say come out of Babylon, you are thinking of Assemblies of God Church, thinking of all these physical places, all these things that are happening. It's gone beyond that. God says you have to come out of the holy place. So it's no longer come out from that talk to the holy place. Now the holy place people must move forward. And as I will show, if you don't move forward, you move back. Because on the day of atonement, at the time when God begins to bring this judgment, there is only one way. Either you are going forward or you are going back. You cannot stay. The holy place is a temporary place. You know, and that's why it says when you bake the leaven, you bring 2 loaves of bread and use leaven to bake it. How can God tell you to use leaven to bake bread? If not that he was trying to show and introduce that this is a place that is not perfect. It's a realm that is not perfect. So what we are seeing in the church today is that level of Pentecost is spreading. It's spreading. It's corrupting the whole thing. And God is using it to either drive you forward or you go back. So many are being overtaken by the level in Pentecost. All the lying, business, all the things. I mean, you know, it's big time. We were just talking about one before we started. You know, so it's either people are going back or you're moving forward. But you cannot be stationary now. There's nothing. In fact, God cannot guarantee that safety. Because at the day of atonement, everybody must move forward or you move back. Because there is a level. The flesh. You know, God has given the devil authority to have dominion and to get into the church and to defy the church, to overcome the sins. And the people that are overcome are those who are walking in the flesh. Those who are, you know, walking in carnality and all that. You know? So he's saying that Babylon is not just, you know, what we know. But Babylon is speaking about the condition of a man's soul. That is Babylon. And then God began to say to me that he was showing me, we asked the question, who is a virgin? Who is a virgin? A virgin is a man. Okay, let's say it's actually a woman who has not known a man before he gets married, you know, so. Or put the other way around, it's a man who has not known a woman before he got married. It's both ways. Now, in the spirit, who is a virgin? Because we are the bride of Christ, we are going to be married to Christ. So, how would you now define who the bride of Christ should be? Because the whole purpose of all that we are doing is that we might be married to Christ. We might be the bride of Christ. That is the whole purpose. Now, who is the bride of Christ? Okay, or you say, okay, who is the wise virgin? Because the wise virgins that enter in, that entered into the door, and the door was shut. The foolish virgins couldn't enter. And what was it that qualified them was vessel. Oil. Okay? So what is this oil or what is the virgin? And God said to me that the virgin must not have been defined by any spirit. So if a soul is being defined by a spirit, then you cannot be a virgin. So that for me raised the bar and I knew I was in trouble. You know, so because it changed the game completely. So God is saying that the virgin must overcome the spirit. So you see, so it automatically declares war upon, you know, the spirits and all those things and so on. You know, so I must overcome. If I don't overcome, then I cannot qualify to be the bride of Christ. How many men will marry a virgin who has been disvirgined? How many men? So Christ will not. So the bride of Christ must be pure. And that must overcome the spirits. You know? So it's raising the bar. That's why God is saying you must move forward. So you not just say, I'm born again. I'm not a fully man. I'm not, you know, all those things that I'm following Christ. Fine. Those ones are okay. But now you must bring the matter into your mind. Okay? Into emotions, into your desires. So how are we operating? How am I operating at this level? Okay? And that is now what is going to determine if I'm going to qualify or not. You know? So here he's saying that Babylon speaks of the condition of the heart. And from what he's telling us, that Babylon is a place of rebellion. A place where it says the habitation of devils, spirits, and so on and so on. Okay, so we'll come back to this. Let's go back to Leviticus. Because we're looking at the practical, you know, the practical aspects of that word. It says, and they shall offer no more offer their sacrifice to devils, after whom they have gone and hurried, and so on, so on. Now look, go to verse 11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. You know? So, is the atonement is for the soul. And even though in the Old Testament there were limitations, and that limitation, 2 Corinthians tells us about, it says that the ministry of the Old Testament says the ministry of condemnation of death. But even though it was condemnation and death, I feel a bit hot. Can you? Can you compare it with the New Testament? But even in that comparison, he's telling you that Moses, the glory was so much that Moses, even his face was shining. So it's not as though the Old Testament had a lot of glory in it, but there were limitations because he could not address the man. He could not address. If I say that every year they had to go and make sacrifice means that that sacrifice was not perfect to permanently deal with it. So every year they had to do it, and it was an interim thing until the real offering should come. And when Jesus Christ came, so that by one offering, He was able to sanctify, you know, all that. Sorry, I'm okay. Making everybody, you know, that by one sacrifice he was able to bring perfection, you know, to every man. Now, and that thing he's talking of, he was speaking about the soul. He's talking about the mind. He's talking about the emotions and desire and will. You know, those are the things that must be cleansed. Those are the things that must be offered to God. You know, so in our common thinking, every one of us, we think that when we come into, you know, when you're giving yourself to God, it doesn't bother your mind. God is not interested in what you can give. God, you know, give a big offering. The pastor is just going to break the bank for you. Just, we get so happy for you. You love the Lord. You're a man of God. Okay? The man is giving God his money. His heart is in London. You know? So, and that is what you see in the church. And that's where we have operated. And that is the Old Testament. So we are actually living in the time of renewal, but what we are actually practicing is an old order, which cannot bring us to a point of victory. You know, and it goes on. In fact, if you look at it, you know, the way we even raise our children is the same thing, because we say they are children, isn't it also? So, you know, that when they are 2 years, 3 years, you know, give them. It's when they grow up to be 40, 50, that's when we'll start teaching them the things of God, really. Those children, before you get to the 14, 13 or 14, the devil has finished whatever he wants to do. Because at the small level of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, all the things the devil wants to do, he has already given to them. Their minds are taken. Their emotions are taken. So by the time you now wake up from sleep, if you ever get, the matter is over. And God said that is more like, that is offering the children to the devil. We ourselves offer them. The things we buy for them, the things we expose them to, we say, oh, no, we'll take them to Sunday school. Is there any Sunday school in the television? It's now, all the prime time, that's everything, that's when it's happening, when the children are, that is when they want the children to see the things, real time. So we are the ones saying Sunday school, we put them aside, so they cannot see all these things. But while you are putting them alive, their minds are sold. The boys, they know everything about football, all the things, their hearts are gone. The young people, that's why the young people were losing them. They're gone. You go to England now, the young people, of course, their parents rebelled against God. So the new generation now, those are the ones that were on the street. They see the policeman, the man say, yes, they say, who are you? Before, how can? The traditional English man fears the policeman. But this one, they're looking at them and say, yes, what can you do? You know, so the people they are shocked. Maybe this is what you saw. You saw the wind, you read the whirlwind. You know, they say there was no God, there was no God. Fine. Their children are woken up now and say, okay, very good. They don't have any limits. So they have lost the whole generation. And we too, now we are also following them. So there is the thing about the children is a major aspect. There are so many dimensions of it. You know, they were looking at ourselves, you know, we don't give our heart to God. We don't give ourselves to God. Somebody comes, you know, we are in fellowship, you know, but you can feel the man's heart is not there. He's just there. You only see his carcass, his body. That's Babylon. He's there physically, but the real vessel, his mind, his emotions, is in the market at work. Or is in a pool house, the mind is, and that is what the devil. So the devil has taken the mind and given God the empty carcass. Say, God, yeah, you want the I take the written. And God says, that is the situation of Belshazzar. God says, enough. He's bringing a judgment to that situation where our whole being. Remember, it's not New Testament. The man asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He said, the greatest commandment is one. You will love the Lord with all your heart, your emotions, your desire, your will. So that when you are coming to God, everything, your whole being, your passion, you know. And when you see, meet another Christian, he's not passionate about God. He's not excited about God. You know, there's a song I have, it says, every time I think about you, I begin to smile. That is, when you think of God, you begin to smile. You are excited. Just thinking of God, you are excited. But think about you, when you think of the money in your bank account, what do? You feel good. You relax. So, we are worshipping things in the place of God. That is the truth. We say we are there, but we are really, we are not there. We come down to the point. I'm not there. Because I'm not excited about God. When I think of God, am I excited? I'll have to labor and labor and labor and labor. It takes me 2 hours before my wife is settled now. I say, okay. So we don't think of God as something that should excite us. You know, because we are not passionate. Our hands, we are passionate about other things. There are things that our minds will give our minds to it, will give our love to it, and all that. You know, the work we do, we are passionate about it, our career, and all those things. They're good. But the point is that those things are of less value. than Christ himself. You know? So, that is what he's talking about the vessel being used in Babylon, in the temple of, you know, of Dagon, to bring ministry. He's serving them. They are rejoicing. The devil is getting a big hand. And the other scripture that, because when you look at it, it hasn't really landed. Yes. You know, so what is the evidence that the soul of man, that the devil lives the soul of man? What is the evidence? What scripture? What does it show? You know? Of course, one, you look at the man that came from the tomb. Said that he had a legion. Okay? And he wear no clothes. So that should tell about these people who are removing their clothes now. You know, see the men, tattoo this way. The whole place. And when you put a tattoo, you must have to show it so that people will know you have it. Isn't it so? So I'm telling you, women's clothes is going to go up because it's tattoo that will cover, will not be the dress. The only cover here, the other one is to be shown so that people can know the type. You know, there are different types now, different trends. They're using different technology to put it. So they make all kinds of things. Okay? So, the demons were there, and they said at least, the legion is at least 6,000. They were dwelling. Now, when the spirits, Jesus said, when they saw Jesus, they said, have you come to cast us out? Before the time. Where were they? They were inside the man.
Yes.
The spirits were inside the man. So that means man, that man was their house. They are dwelling place. So in the dictionary of the devil, not to even talk of in God's mind, when you talk of temple, you are talking of man, not a house. But now, because we have fallen so low, when we think of temple, we think of ourselves as God, deeper life. Those are not temples. A temple is a place of worship. It's a place of giving life and receiving life. And the real temple is man. You know, anyway, let me not digress. So the spirits were living inside the man. And I watch it. So when Jesus came, say, have you come to cast us out before the time? So there's a time element to it. You know, we won't even get into that now. But they say, okay, no. Okay, suffer us to go to where? If we can't have man, we can have. But they needed a body. That is the lesson. The spirit, every spirit needs a body. And when was the spirit manifest in the body? It is weak, because you can, if you identify the, you can deal with it. You can, you know. So that's when the devil begins to manifest naturally, to begin to attack you. You know, he's in a low place to show himself, because rather spirits will want to disguise. They won't want to show you. They would rather deceive you that they are not there. The devil is so much. In fact, he runs the show. Look, everything you deal with is in control by the devil. Your bank account is controlled by the devil. The food you eat is controlled by the devil. The car you drive, he's in charge. The person that pays your money, he's in charge. The aircraft, the one we are flying today, you saw what was happening, he's in charge. He is in control. He's the God of this world. God has given it. God says, Jesus said, he's the prince of this world. It is a title, and a title goes with government, it goes with dominion. It is given to you. God hasn't taken it away yet. But now the time has come to take it away. And the people to take it away are me and you. But you see, the devil will make us believe that he is not there. Why he is still there? That is the way you operate. So if, because when you know the devil, you rebuke the devil. You rebuke him, it's judged. That spirit is judged. He loses his authority. So he will hide and all that. So the spirit said, let us go to this wine. And Jesus said, fine. Jesus knew what was happening. Because immediately when they entered the store, what happened? They rushed down. And the swine died. And they had to go. Because they were not dwelling. There's no life now. They need life. They need energy. So if they can't have the energy from you, at least they can get it from this wine. And if that one dies, they go out and start looking for another body to inhabit. They must find a body. If they can't get man, they will go to animals. So at least they can, that will give them some heat. Okay? So that is spiritual, that is the principle. That the spirit must dwell. And they want your body, they want my body, so that they can get life and express themselves. Now, the other scripture that confirms that is the scripture where Jesus said that when an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, where does he do? See, he goes around dry places looking for life. Okay, when he doesn't get enough, what does he say? He said, I'll go back to my house. Use the word my house. And when he comes there, if he sees the door open, what happens? He goes and says, come. He goes and blows the trumpet and says, come. Oh. The door is open. They come with seven. Seven means with the full dimension of spirit. And they come. And the state is worse. Why? Because there are more spirits that have come. Now, this is the normal trend. What's going on? And you and I know that this is not where we are operating. We are operating at a far lower dimension. We don't deal with the devil at this level. But this is what he's doing. So for me and you to overcome, we must rise up. We must up our game. That was go from this lower dimension. And that's why God is saying you must come out of the outer court. Just looking at natural things and just, you know, to the point where you know that your mind, your emotions is the center of the universe. That the devil wants it. He says, this is my house. But God made you for himself. You know, Psalm 132 verse says, the word of Psalm 132 says that I have created Zion as my dwelling place forever. So you cannot understand the conflict when you talk about Christ and Antichrist. So man is God's purposely designed house and vehicle. Man is everything. Man is a computer. You say, you know, I didn't know about master computer and servant computer. Is there? Male and female computer. Is there? And that's exactly what it is. Yes. You know, God is the father of all spirit and he created us so that he can be joined to us. So that man cannot exist without God. But you see, the devil tells you don't need God. In another way, he knows away God so that he himself will take the position of God through disguise. And this is what he has been doing. And the church has no answer for it. We are not fighting him at that level. And that is why we must repent. We must come to a point where we say, we begin to cry to say, God, you deliver me. Have mercy upon me. You must open my eyes. I must change my act. So it's like a point of stop. And it's like cry out to God that there must be a change. You know? And the only way, the way to bring the change is what we are looking at. That verse 11. You see, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The second phrase is the key. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You know, so our overcoming is going to be by the blood. That's the way we overcome, by the blood. And blood is not looking at the physical, because the blood of Jesus is not a physical thing. Is anybody in this room have you seen the blood of Jesus before? Mm-hmm. But you believe it's there.
Yes.
So what is it you are looking at? You're looking at the spirit. It's a spirit now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a physical. The blood of Jesus, yes, it was a physical blood one time. Mm-hmm. But that was 2,000 years ago. By the way, there's one man who said he dug under the altar in Jerusalem and he saw the blood of Jesus. It's on the internet. Has anybody seen it? Eh? He took that blood to the lab. I went and looked at it. The blood was still active. I'm serious. They examined the use of the disease and they said the blood was, and it was different. It had 23 chromosomes plus 1, 24.
which is supernatural.
No. That every man has 23 pairs of chromosomes. That means 36. Yes. For 46. So you have 23 from the mother, another set from the father. With Jesus, his father was different. So you had 23 from the mother.
I had one
from the father. I had one from the father. That's the chromosome they saw. And they said it was still alive. They saw the underground. No, he just tried to show something. That blood, you know. But the point is that the blood of Jesus is a spirit, is life. And not just that, the Bible says it was shed from the foundation of the world. So it is, you see, the blood speaks better things than it. But the principle of the blood is the principle of our victory, our practical application. How do we overcome? Now we don't use that which God has provided for us to overcome. We try to overcome by our own strength. Now what do I mean by that? Now it says it is the blood that makes an atonement. Now so let's go back to the scripture. We can't read it now, but I want you to read it maybe by tomorrow, so that we can move faster tomorrow. Try and look at Hebrews 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. See, read Hebrews 6 to 10. There are not too many verses. Just if you can try and it gives you a background. But Hebrews, we are talking about this old and the new. And you ask a question. You ask a question. The physical temple, how was it cleansed? Cleansed, yes. The one Moses built, what did they do to cleanse it?
Purified the pure goats and cow.
Good. So, and you believe that the blood of a goat, when they touched it on the wood became holy. Is it not so? You believe?
Yes.
Good. It is the blood of cow, touch it on the wood. In fact, he sprinkled both the vessels and the people. So when that blood of touched you, you became holy. So he asked you a question, how much more the blood of Jesus? Now, who is the real temple, you or the wood? Who is the real temple? If honoring wood will get holy by the blood of calf. See, how much more the blood of Jesus is able to purge your heart from evil conscience. When I say that word evil means ponero, that means poneros, it means wicked, lewd, malicious, injurious, blasphemous. That's every kind of nature. See, that the blood of Jesus is able to purge your mind. So, you see, if you are still thinking of a physical thing, you miss it. You have to think of yourself, your mind. Because, you see, the devil is warring against your mind, you know, so. As you go through the whole of today, your mind is being bombarded. How are you going to overcome? It's by the blood.
Hallelujah.
In other words, that we as Christians, because we've had a wrong orientation. Even me, I say, God, you have to help me. I don't function as a priest. My life is not the life of a priest. But the truth is that you are a priest, whether I like it or not. You know, I was telling them, I was jogging by that in front of that Lyco, that place. I got there, I saw a woman with a bag. She was doing like this, throwing things in the water in my presence. Say, Jesus of Nazareth. She was talking right there at the waterfront.
Doing
she saw making sacrifice. But me, I'm the altar. And I look at myself, I say, Nigerian or a modern man, I wear a suit, and I'm going to, but God says, there's an offering that you're supposed to break. If you don't make it to God, you're making it to the devil. So, that's because we have to go back to original, we have to go back to drawing board. And the problem is that we do not live as priests. Paul said, I beseech you above that you might what? Make a as a living, not a living, continuous sacrifice. That's it. What you doing? That one. That is not that consideration. The amount of money you give God and all those things. God doesn't even, God looks at your heart. It's like somebody said that you give God $500, but you spend $20,000 to go on holiday. Yeah, that's what we're doing in the church. We'll give God, we'll come and we'll say we're big time, we have done great. $500 is our offering. But we'll spend $20,000 offering to go on holiday, to go and lie down in the sun and drink Coke. That's the holiday now. You lie down in the sun and drink Coke. And maybe eat rice and eat a poisson. That's why you spend $20,000 to go to Panama somewhere. That's the thing. So the priorities are misplaced. That's what's happening in the church. You say, I'm serving God. I gave up for $1,000. Hey, big man. How much did you spend on to get drip poisson in Costa Rica? That is that you're talking. So the man is worshipping someone else. He just say, God, okay, just don't be annoyed, just take this one, my boy. So the point is that we are not functioning as what he has made us to be. We sing the song, I was born to be his dwelling place, just lip service. In actual fact, we have not seen him. I'm not functioning, because if I function as a priest, I know that my mind is the altar, the thoughts, the emotion. Somebody comes and, like the other day, when I was coming down on Air France, one boy was in front of me. In fact, the trouble was too much. Himself and the girl, they were hugging, and I got annoyed. So when I came down, this was in Paris. So the boy was blocking me on the road. I just confess it. He was blocking two of them. I said, excuse me. But I was a bit harsh. I said, excuse me. So as he tried to move, I was holding my bag. I was pulling it along. Well, I didn't mean to knock him, but as I was going, he said, touch him some more. He said, hello, careful. The way I passed him, he knew that I was not ready for any of those things. So I just moved fast and I didn't even say sorry. So as I did that, God, you see that. I said, God, have mercy on me. That was, I didn't say sorry. I should have said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't bother to even say sorry because my mind already. But you see, the devil sets you up. He brings something to do something to you, and within you start contending. Now, if my emotion is in that state of contention, I cannot bring any sacrifice to God in that emotion. I'm out. I'm going to say that you will not bring any sacrifice that is torn by wild beasts. Or that is dead. What is that? The white beast is contention. So, what the devil needs is just send somebody to get you annoyed. Yeah. Finish. And you are switched off. You are switched off. Or he gets an image, sees just fly something on television for you. You are out for the two, three days or 1 week self. You are struggling with that image. You are out. And because we don't know how we function, the way God has made us, we take ourselves just to be anything. The devil, that's what the devil wants you to be. Just continue in that state. Where you think that worship is coming here and singing. When in actual fact it is the state of my emotions, of my desire, of my will. So all it takes for a young girl is for one boy to come and say, I love you. I love you. Then you raise your emotions. Then tomorrow you see the boy with another girl. That's the end. He's the devil has knocked you off. So before you get out of that state of bitterness, of rejection, of looking for revenge, and while you are doing that emotion cannot bring any offering to God. You understand? Now, so and there are several of such situations. Talk about the mind or a desire that they are showing things for you. You just bought a car. You bought it in April. Now it's January of the following year. You now see a new model of Mercedes SLC. Then after the SLCI, then I tell you does this. Then you start despising on that new one you bought. You spend all your money now. This new one has made it old. So you now start desiring it. Meanwhile, your desire should be unto the Lord. not to those things. So the devil using all these ones and the things to say, he's just manipulating our minds, our emotions and desires from one point to the other. When Wimbledon finishes, US Open is coming up. When US Open, for just within, before they will get another one to fill in, the next one is Australia Open in this. So throughout the whole year, they have one thing to the other. So your emotion is going from one event to the other, to the other, to the other, and you're looking for points of receiving life. In fact, that one, we can't even talk about that one today. So that the emotion, that platform, that temple is defined. That is the vessel that is being used to function in Babylon. And God calls it Babylon because that vessel has not turned against God. Yes, it's also being worshipped to God. Now, it is being used against God. Because the devil is taunting God. See the people you say they are own. I have them. They are mine. That's what he told Jesus. He took him up to this pinnacle of the temple and showed him all the kingdom. Which is it possible? Which pinnacle is that one? Yes, I went to Jerusalem. It's very high. Okay. You can see the city, but cannot see. So it was something in the spirit. It was boasting, saying, look, all these hearts that are with me, come over and join me in the rebellion. Because the truth is a rebellion against God. And the devil is recruiting people. So when my emotions are given over, I'm a vessel in the hand of the devil. He's using me to do different things. You know, so it might be something in the office or even at home or whatever it is. And all those situations are there to be able to, you know, get the mind, get the emotions and to put. So the practical way is to apply the blood. Is to apply the blood practically, daily. In fact, Brabot was saying, now what we'll do, we'll find out something. I didn't realize it. But you see, he found out something. God took him in a vision. Well, not really a vision, but like something like an art of body experience. He just didn't know what it is. But he found himself in the headquarters of the devil. It was a war council. And they had files. Now, the thing is that we didn't know. The devil doesn't know everything, no. The devil is not in Gamba. He doesn't know what is happening here. He depends on a network to send information to him. He can only be in one place at one particular time. So for him to know what is happening elsewhere, he needs a network to pass that information, to feed the information to him. You understand? That's how he knows. Or they have spirits that go to get information and all that. So one of the things that God is showing us now is that we have to begin to dislodge the network of the devil. So as you pray, you dislodge that network. So it can't function very well. You know, but because we are not praying, you know, it uses us to either give information or get people for information from. But if we pray, the strength will be, the energy will be so much that he won't be able to get that, and that will make him not to function well. You know. So one of the things we need to do that on a daily basis, we must pray against the network of the devil. That the things that the devil has set up daily to harass you. So he said that when he saw that, he said that they saw even the name of the people when you were born, the last medical this thing you went for, your weaknesses, your strengths, your parents, everything about you is in the dossier. So they were looking at it to find out, this man, how are we going to attack him? So it means that they will not plan. That's okay, we are going to do this and this and this and this. So they set up things for you. But when you pray against them, you dislodge that. That's why sometimes when you make a plan to go somewhere, God destroys, something comes and that plan destroys. If that plan is disrupted, that is, those spirits cannot function because they have been told to go to so and so and so time. And that's exactly what they're going to do. When they go there, if they don't see you, they go back to the person that sent them. And that's why they say back to sender. But if you send the spirit to go, if it doesn't, the spirit must get life, must get blood. If they don't get it from the person, they're going back to the person that sent them, and they will get it from the person. You know? So when we begin to pray, we will dislodge all the plans of the enemy that he has made for us for the day, or for our loved ones, or for the brethren, or something. So as we pray, we dislodge, it will just cause confusion. They turn against themselves, and that makes them weak. So so in doing that, we're able to get some strength. You know, so a practical way of overcoming is by the blood. We have to apply the blood in our mind, in our emotions, and so on and so on. You know, to bring, not just to purge, but you see, blood also brings life. You know, now why would Jesus say you must feed on my blood? Of course, we know it's not, we're not going to drink the blood of Jesus. But there's life and energy that comes in that blood. That's the life of the soul, is the blood. The blood of Jesus brings life. It brings the life of God. It's like you eat food, that it brings you physical food in energy. The life of God comes in the blood, and comes in the body of Christ, in the meaning of partaking of Christ. You know. So this scripture, here is saying, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Okay. You know, so now when I didn't remind you to, actually, if I had gotten the chat, I'll be able to, maybe tomorrow I'll be able to show it in the draw, to draw the chat. Now, the tabernacle has different levels of application. Now, the Hebrews just talked about the tabernacle, and of course, Exodus did. You know, but looking at the tabernacle in the Old Testament, also knowing that the Old Testament was just, as Galatians says, the Old Testament was just there, was a temporary thing that was there, until the real covenant God wanted to make was the new. Now, the real temple was not the Old Testament. The real temple is the new. And the temple in the New Testament is you. You get the point? You are the new temple. Alright? Now, when the scripture talks about the temple, it talks about the temple. It talks about the covenant in the temple. It talks about the priest in the temple. They talk about the sacrifices that are made in the temple. So those are the four dimensions that you see. And of course, the life that now comes out of that. Okay? Now, the tabernacle was for the old. But you see, that tabernacle is actually speaking of the soul. It's actually speaking about the soul. You know? The fact that the soul of man goes from outside the outer court to the first level of experience in God, what you call the outer court. But that is the lowest realm of heaven. Because both the outer court, the holy place, and those are different dimensions of heaven. But you see, outside of it, what you have is darkness, actually hell. So both hell and heaven are running at the same time, in your heart and in the world. Now, this is something revolutionary, because somebody, how can you say that there is heaven and hell here at the same time? But the Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you, isn't it so? Now, the kingdom of God is the place where the will of God is done. That's the simple definition, isn't it so? Okay, good. Before you were a Christian, what was inside you? If you became a Christian, you are not born a Christian. None of us were born a Christian. Good. Okay, good. So you now remember that scripture that says he has translated us. So when we say those things, they are high. Bring it down. It starts here. So within you is the kingdom. Now, how can the devil live in you? How can God live in you? If not, there is heaven in you. Heaven is a realm of the spirit. That's what you call heaven. Okay, now let me tell you something. I bought a phone. I went to Oxford Street and bought iPod. Is it not so? I saw them. All those boys wearing blue and they wear blue and black. Okay, all of them. That's what Steve Jobs told them to wear. Okay? Now, you cannot, anything you want to download on the iPod, where is it stored? You call it or something called the iPhone store. iTunes. Please tell me, my people, where is iTunes? In the cloud. Oh yeah, go and tell a Sky Airline to carry you. I'll show you where it is in the sky.
There's a cloud.
Which cloud?
Computer cloud.
Okay. So you believe the computer cloud, but you will not believe the cloud in the Bible.
No.
You understand what I'm saying? So believers, we are using iPod. We are buying music from iTunes store. Where is the iTunes store? I'm asking you now. Where is it? You believe it, you use it, your life depends on it. You have a phone. You call your mother. Which frequency did it pass? There are how many phones? Have you ever heard that any phone jammed?
No.
The frequency jam?
No.
Airtel doesn't jam MTN. MTN doesn't jam Move. They're all moving at the different levels.
It didn't jam Move.
We need to wake up. The church must wake up. We know that you believe your life depends on it. You use it. And it's natural. There's no, you don't think about it. But when it comes to the spiritual one, we say, no, I don't want false doctrine. I don't want these people that they have got out of the Bible. But we are living and we are using spiritual principles to walk. I was somewhere, in fact, that one I bought to me has a Bluetooth printer. You know, I wanted to print something. He said I should send it to his email. His email was HTC phone. He just pressed pam pam pam. The computer said pretty something. I said, God, have mercy on me. I said, God, have mercy on me. Bluetooth printer. I said, no, you don't need wire. How did the information go from this thing to a computer somewhere and he started printing?
Frequency.
Oh, God, that feels bad. Hallelujah. So we are far behind. The world they're reading from here and they're running. So if we are alive, do you know that God can give you information about me? God will show you. God will show you what is going to happen to me, and you pray and bind the devil. So you don't need to play around, because you can feel it. When you're in your office, you can feel and discern the thoughts of the people. You don't know. You know what they're thinking. That's what happened to Jesus. Am I telling you something out of the... He knew their thoughts. Because his heart was pure. So he could feel it. If you are sensitive, you will know. The time when your husband is thinking of you, you will know. If you are sensitive, you will know. The time when people start thinking evil about you, you know. It's just that we are too. Yes, we don't, you know. So God tells you something. You are leaving your house. God said, the Spirit of God says, take this. Say, no, I'm not going to use this key. Only for you to go out, the car stops, and something happens. Say, I have disobeyed the Holy Ghost today. Child, oh, have this on me. But you had a witness. Take the key. You didn't take it. You know, so we are operating at a far lower potential than what we can. And we need it, because we cannot fight the devil at the level where we are. So if we come up in the spirit, we will beat the devil. He will not be able to. Because, the church is alive. God will speak. He will speak and he will show what is going to happen. He said, what will I do without telling my servants? So you are having, God can give you a word exactly. This is what to do. This is what is going to happen. David asked the Lord, what do I do? Do I run? Do I pursue? Do I say, do this and that? And he did it. I had the victory. But now, we are operating as Old Testament people. We use our head. We want to figure it out. We go to the internet. We check it out. Okay, so okay, very good. But the point is that the potentials we have, we are not using it. And that is the New Testament church. God is bringing us to a newer dimension of oppression. And this one, the devil will not, he won't know what hit him, because the people of God will be so full of life.
so full of information because we are connected to God. God is speaking and giving information. You are here, somebody, look, is somewhere, and you say, look, in the night, God, this is what God said. So and so and so, detailed, accurate. And you follow it, and the thing is done. You know, because of the network. Now, if you are going to do it, before you do, you go and tell your pastor, please, oh, excuse me, this is what God said, it will work. He has not been reading his Bible. He has been doing business proposal of how he will go and build church in Nigeria. If you don't propose, why? You got to tell him, God said, God doesn't speak like that. Those people are false doctrine. See, they are false doctrine people. Say, where is it? Meanwhile, it's his Bible. You know his Bible. How will you go and tell him, and you take permission from him? It will work.
Somebody, God told them to go and cook their village to prepare food, bless the people, speak the word. The people returned and went to the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor said, oh, they should take the money and give to widows.
Uh-huh. And that was it. So you killed the plan of God. You know. So the God is moving into the church and he's beginning to reorder the direction. So we're talking about the outer court and the holy, and you know, the outer court, the holy place, and then the outside, which is hell actually. That's the world. Now, when ask the question, when God put Adam, the devil was already here. There was rebellion already. Is it not so? So the earth is a realm of hell, disorder, and rebellion. Good. So God now put him. So it was like a little light in the midst of darkness. So the darkness is looking at it, how we want to quench the light. So there was contention already with Adam. All right? So, when a man is born, he's born into the realm of hell, a realm of contention and deception. Now, that is very important because in my mind, I love the world. The world is my friend. But that is, in fact, there can be no greater. The world hates you. It hates me. The devil will use everything that you, even the promotion you take that is feeding you, God, the devil wants to use it to destroy you. So the question is not the profession, but the point is our mentality, our attitude. You know, it's like, you say he brought the people to the water. I said, drink. The people say, okay, I've not drank water. He carried his weapon, put. If he loses his belt, if he to drink water. She's the king. The Lord has blessed me. And I say, so the man now they went to town. When they went to Babylon, some people they married. God said, "Oh yeah, now it's okay. Go back." Say, "No, this Babylon." He said, "You go back." He said, "The Lord," he said, "This is not from the Lord. How can you think God tell us to go back to Egypt, to Israel, where there is nothing, no temple, no job, not to say we should all go back?" The people they refuse to go. You know, but some other people got the same water. They just knelt down and they were laughing and they were still attentive. And that's our attitude. So we're in the world, but so we, in fact, like I said, so me, I've gone flat. Just flat, just drop everything and just open yourself and say, okay, let me now enjoy myself. And not knowing that the enemy is all. Oh, you know, so the first place of adjustment is in the mind. And if we win the battle in the mind, it's over. And you know, now I was telling you, the warfare now is computer based. Yes, you have all your Scott missiles, no problem. How will you operate? It's not computer. America will send virus to the Scott missiles, block the system, block the radar. Confuse the system. You have the thing, you cannot use it. That's warfare now. So they have gone beyond ordinary, moving things around, and they are taking the battle to a higher dimension. And he's telling us what is happening in the spirit, that we too, we must change our attitude. So there are two kingdoms, the darkness and, you know, that of heaven. Now, the outer court is the lowest realm of hell, of heaven. And that's why God cannot defend it. Because the Bible says that hell has enlarged. If hell is enlarging this goal, what will be the first casualty? If hell is enlarging, what would it affect first? It's outer court. So if you are doing, if you are just saying, let me dwell at that point, you are in danger, because hell is enlarging its coast. So it is overshadowing even that realm of heaven itself. In fact, at one point, they even brought the high place and brought it inside the temple and put it there. It was outside, but they moved it inside, you know, and began to, so they made the idol worship was right. That's what Manasseh did. He brought it. He said, why are you going far? Let's bring the thing inside. And they brought it inside the house and began to, you know. So it's a principle we are God is that we must move forward. We must press on. It's difficult, but we have to press on, you know. And it's an attitude of mind. So when you meet somebody, when you meet a believer, you must carry out a test. This man, where is he going? Is he going forward? Or is he going back? That's my own test now. I just ask God. While the man is talking, I say, God, where is this man? Is he moving forward? If he's not moving forward, that's it. I've switched off. Let him be saying everything he's saying. If it's what?
If it's inside the temple.
Of course. It's inside the temple. Yeah? Because there are people who have turned back. They have got it there and said, we cannot make it. I'm okay where I am. And they want you to stay with them. So, and that person may be your best friend.
The Lord has shown it many, many times.
It might be your best friend. You might say, I've had many best friends. As they say, well, now here I go stop. I say, okay, no problem. And God warned me, if you're emotional, you're out. Because you'll be tied to people. The man doesn't want to move forward. You are tied to him. That was Jonathan. He said, look, my friend, he knew his father had missed it. He knew the kingdom had been taken from his father. But he had that brother, he had that filial. Oh, it's my father. How can I leave my father? How can I just... Okay, now. He died with his father the same day. He lost his life. He wasted his career. You could have gone with David and you would have had, you know. So that is what we are seeing. So we are looking at the church. The church is missed it. Missed it. And you say, oh, how can you say? Is it a business? Is it God that called you to say it? It's like God's people. You pray for them while you are moving. So the thing is, as you are moving, you are praying for the man. If the man hears God, God will talk to him one day. He sees you, he says, he will now wake up and start running after you. When you see him, it's okay, now he's ready, then you walk together. But if you tie yourself to it, you miss it. You know? So you have a lower realm of heaven, and that is the one that is at greatest risk of being overshadowed. So you look at the church, cancer is coming to the church. HIV, you there. Which other one? You there. Anyone you there? You there. He's at church. Now you're talking. That's why. So don't measure the outer court. He said, you know, the Gentile means the worldliness. The world. The world is hell. I'm telling you the truth. They have no agenda for God. They hate God. Anything that is God. In fact, the particular that place called Britain. Though I hear America is even worse, but they're always not very apparent. But you go to UK, you can feel
the
hatred for God. Anything God, they want is terminated from their mind, their emotion, from their life. Anything God. So when you look at it, do you know that this one cannot be God? But you love it. So you love the people that hate God. What will happen to you? It's good, you know. So those are the things, the kind of challenges that we have. And God is saying, you must come out of the outer court. When you say outer court, it's your soul. It's the realm at which your soul is operating and my soul is operating, you must come from that lower dimension to a much higher, in a place where the devil cannot be able to touch us. And that is the task, that we must go up higher. And how do you go up higher? By the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So, the practicality, we have to invest on the things that will help us spend more time in the word. Spend more time praying. Spend more time talking to people who can encourage us. You know, you're looking, you have money. If you have money, God has blessed you. So use the money and create avenue for you to grow spiritually. You know? So if you have money, if there are, you know, other electronic things or conferences or something, you make an investment. You make the budget, say, I'm going to be there. You cut off, shut down, and go there and get the word. You know, so there are things that we can go to God and practically begin to do. And there are things also to shut down. You know, there are things that will not help us, because those are the things that will not take our time. Like me, I want to read this one, but I don't need all those things. I need to read more of the word. You know, so these are investments that we can make. Now we have iPod, we have iPad, isn't also Bible is inside it. Very good. You take it. When they're reading the newspaper, you need to open your own iPad and you'll be pushing it as they're pushing their own. You'll be pushing it too, and you're pushing the Bible and you're reading. You know? So we must design, you know, like we are doing Sky Fellowship, all those things, use those electronic things and use it for spiritual purpose, to turn our mind, to give our things to God, to give our emotions, our desires. So that is the practicality of the warfare. You know? Because as we started praying, I felt a covering, you know, over us. I felt a covering. And I know there has to be a warfare. But the way to win the war is you must change position. You must go up in the spirit. Because they are fighting you in the spirit. They are jamming your mind. They are saying things. They are making incantations, speaking, sending words. And those words are fighting you. So you are looking at the Lord, but they are coming. So the only way is to go higher in the spirit and begin use the word of God. You know, you listen to it, you pray it, talk about it, operate by the blood to redeem your soul. So these are some of the practicalities that came to my mind. You know, I think I'm going to stop at this point. Maybe tomorrow, when we have more time, I'll be able to. We will still go back to the tabernacle, and we will look at. I'll be able to relate it, because we will go from one step to the other. You will see a different level, from the outer court to the holy place, and all. And then the tabernacle is not the end, though. The tabernacle is just a principle. If you take those principles and you now apply it to your own tabernacle. If not, it's of no use. It's just the head knowledge. Whatever you see there, because all those verses, all those veils are not there in the New. In the New Testament, there's no veil. You can have, say, we have boldness into the holiest. So in our mind, we're sitting there, okay, I can't enter. You can't enter now, fully. You can be dwelling in the presence of God full time now. But it's from glory to glory. You know. So we need to look at and see those subtle differences to know where I am now. What should I be doing? Where should I be operating? How should I operate? And then to see how you can practically use it to work in it. It's like a child, you know. When you hear get something, you're not going to be strong in it. You need to begin to walk. As you walk, you will fall. You will rise up. You keep going until you become strong in it. Until it becomes part of your life. When it becomes part of you, then you are off. The devil cannot take it from you, because the word has been woven into it. So this thing has to be life. He says, I will put my law in your inward part. I'll write it there. So nobody will need to say it to his brother, know the Lord. In other words, this new covenant is a place of revelation. That God reveals himself to you. That you know God. But for you to know God, there are conditions. God can't just come to you and begin to reveal. Even if you just show you a path to bring you. So first of all, you must determine that you are willing to move ahead. You know, so it's a practical thing, you know, of knowing exactly where you are going to, the steps to take, what to do, what not to do, and all those things. And then determining to change position. That is, to know that, look, like someone said, that the old things, I put them behind, and I face, you know. So we must come to the point where we draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. This is old. Now is a new. And so that's where he's bringing everyone forward. We are saying, look, we draw the line. Enough is enough. We can no longer continue, you know, where we are serving in the courts of Babylon. They're using us, you know, to build his kingdom and all those things. And we have the ability to overcome. Say, resist the devil and he flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee. But we are not resisting, we are submitting. We are afraid. We are overwhelmed. We are bewildered. We are mesmerized. Confused. Confused. You know? So it's like my daughter said, the hype is over. Facebook hype is over. I raised my hand and said, God, thank you. The Facebook hype is over. There's no big deal in Facebook. I said, thank God. So you can come down to normal. Please, let me get my daughter back. You know? So there's so much hype in the world about this, about that, and you know, we lose bearing of who we are, what we are supposed to do, and you know, so God needs to bring us down and we see ourselves and know exactly where we want to go, and then we're able to get the focus. Praise God. Amen. Amen.